Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls.
Sure. I'm tweeting that puppy.
Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, author of the world's best-selling sales book, The Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Glackow, founder and CEO of Sales in a New York Minute.
And we're here today on Sell or Die to make sure that you get the information that you need in order to make more sales, more money, keep your job, fire your boss, and take over the company.
That's right. This show is all about you and how we can help you. And all you need to do is find us on iTunes or your favorite podcast app.
Tell both your friends.
And then give us a 5-star review.
Okay. And today's show is all about how you can improve your life. I want to make sure that you get that. Because when we start to talk about what happens in the sales world, we mean it.
Oh, yeah. So let's get into it.
It's time to sell or die.
Our next guest is a speaker, author, and host of the award-winning podcast, Up or Out. She's helping executives achieve high-performance habits every day. She can be heard on C-Suite Radio, SiriusXM, iHeartRadio, iTunes, and 1,900 analog networks in 145 countries. She's authored over 1,000 articles and 5 books on high-performance habits, leadership, marketing, and influence. From drag racing, Harley riding, horse taming, tattooed diva, she broke the mold and is not your typical leader. Please help me welcome the great Connie Fife. Connie, you've written over 450 articles and 5 books on the topic of leadership. Why is that topic so important to you?
The importance of leadership is really, I mean, you have so many organizations, culture-driven organizations, but there's many times that component missing, which is leadership. And some people forget what that real definition of leadership is. To me, leadership is that servant leader. That leader that is serving their people and not being a dictator, of their people. I mean, an example is when one of my positions that I've held over the years, I was director of development, and I was working with my team, and we were crunching to get all this information done because we were doing this major travel across the country and asking for money, and. So I stepped in and I, came in with a couple trays of pizza and said, okay, we're going to get this done. I mean, we're there till like 2 o'clock in the morning. And my superior, actually, I got slapped in the hand for doing that and said, well, what are you doing? As a leader, you don't do that. You Whoa. Don't step. Yes. Now we're talking maybe 10, 15 years ago when that was, probably 15 years ago when that was said to me. And that always stuck to me because at first it was, and that was the old way of thinking about leadership. You don't mix with your people. You don't hang out with them, which part of that you still want to be cautious of doing. But the point of that as a leader, you sit in that ivory tower and just tell everybody else what to do. That's not my definition of a leader. Mm-hmm. My definition is, again, jump in where you have to. Help the people that are working for you from behind and lift them up. So why I write so many articles and focus on leadership and high performance is to help today's leader understand that in order to be that leader that people aspire to be and respect, you also need to give back to them.
Got it. And it sounds like you're saying leadership in general has changed and evolved over time. Why do you think, or what's contributed to making the leader change from sitting in that ivory tower to now being out there with his or her people?
Technology has definitely changed us over, the last several decades. And people are now realizing, you know, they don't want that command and control, that your people will perform greater. They will perform at a higher level if a leader is there supporting them and encouraging them to do better rather than doing the command and control. And because that has changed, and, you know, again, most of it coming in through the use of technology. And of course, you have all the social media pages and everybody's on there and, you know, and how you're getting out and working with people. So you need to be more flexible as a leader, but yet you still want to be encouraging and helping lift people up from behind. So it's definitely changed over the past number of decades. And I mean, that's my belief, and that's why that change is happening.
Gotcha. And you help leaders all over the country. Yeah. And I'm sure some of them are stuck in that old way of, no, but yes. I'm just supposed to tell them what to do.
Right.
And so how do you help them evolve?
Well, there's a number of ways that I do that. I mean, a lot of them I'll end up doing one-on-one a mentor program with them on the side. I mean, it's not unusual for somebody to text me and say, can I just talk to you for 5 minutes? And I'll get on the phone with them and like, okay, we have this situation and I want to make sure that I'm handling it correctly because again, it's human nature and people don't change very easily.
Mm-hmm.
So when, you know, a lot of today's leaders in these corporations, you know, they're of the Gen X age and some still baby boomers, and they were taught that this is how you go in and this is how you lead and you command, you control. So it's that change. So having somebody like me to hold them accountable and talk through, okay, this is how you have a conversation with that person. And sometimes it's okay to let your hair down and, you know, and step out there, even, you know, having a little like Halloween event yesterday, one of my clients said, well, they want to have a Halloween event. What do I do? I'm like, they're like, okay, well, I'm not going to dress up. What do I do? So I actually coached them on what to wear for Halloween. I said, okay. I said, just wear all black and go in as the Grim Reaper.
Ooh, there you go.
I was like, he's like, oh, that's simple. I could do that. So it's just funny, some of the conversations that I have with them about something as simple as that, but they need that. They need somebody else. We all do, you know. We get mm-hmm. stuck inside of our own self, and it takes somebody else from the outside to say, okay, well, why don't you look at it this way?
Mm.
And, you know, just that slight change makes a world of difference.
And so where does your leadership mentality come from? Did you grow up being a leader all the time? Did your parents teach you these things? Where did you get this way of leading?
Well, that's a loaded question for me. let's see. Growing up... okay, how long is the show? okay, so growing up, I was put into leadership roles as long as I could remember. I lived with my grandmother. I was the oldest of 13 cousins. I'm sorry, 20 cousins, but 13 of them came to the house every day that we watched. And my grandmother was very... old, and she was sickly, overweight, so she wasn't very mobile. So I was the one that every day would take care of them, make sure homework was done, get them off to school. I worked three jobs. I was an entrepreneur before I really even knew what an entrepreneur was.
Wow.
Yeah, I was cleaning the neighbors' houses. I was babysitting. I was doing their grocery shopping. I was ironing men's cotton shirts so we could pay the rent. So I did what I can do from a very young age, and you know, and it just, I mean, in today's standards it could be child abuse, but I learned very young how to, again, manage the finances, how to manage people, and again, organizing 13 cousins, little ones, to, you know, get ready for school and get them to school and get them home, do their homework. So I just, at a very young age, and became that leader. And it was just always, you know, inbred in me, you know, into my adulthood. Every job, every role that I took on, I was always in a leadership position.
That's incredible.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so any of your 13 cousins could have, you know, stood up and taken on that leadership role, but you did. And do you feel right. that you're either born with it, the leadership ability, or you're not? Do you feel it could be taught?
Some people, it comes to them naturally. They have that natural instinct to be a leader. I also believe that being a leader can be taught.
Huh.
Okay. I mean, it's those skills that you bring, or with me, you know, was I born with those skills? Possibly, but I was thrown into it as well.
I gotcha. Mm-hmm. So you talk about high performance habits, and I know that you help people achieve high performance habits. What are high performance habits?
Well, high performance habits, I mean, really it's, you know, for an example, how do you start your day? How do you get up in the morning? How do you start your day? Do you get up and kind of like drag yourself around and, okay, I'll have my 10 cups of coffee before I can get going? But high performers will get up in the morning, they'll jump up, head off to the gym, have that morning routine that sets them off for the day. And so again, that's a high performance. Somebody high performance achiever. Another definition of high performance is someone that continually learns. You know, they never stop learning. And I heard a quote recently. I think it was on Facebook, and it said, "The day I stop learning is the day I stop living."
Whoa.
And that is so true, because a high performer will continue to learn. I mean, if you look at any of the, you know, the great business leaders of today, Warren Buffett, mm-hmm. he reads like, I don't know, 10 books over a weekend. He's like super speed reader. But that's high performance.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, someone leading a team or in a corporation, and again, high performance from that individual is, you know, jumping in, listening to what the people have to say, creating those motivators, you know, always looking at the higher standards in an organization and what they can achieve to be. That's a high performance person, and creating those habits. And you know, and a lot of times, you know, as people, we have habits, we have bad habits. And it's those habits or those patterns that we bring along with us from our DNA, from events that occur in our life, from, you know, different situations that creates our habits and, you know, and how we behave. So when you recognize the bad habits or the bad patterns, you know, once you recognize them, you can easily turn them into a positive and help you to create and become a high performer. That's okay. Go ahead.
What's one high performance habit that you have that you absolutely cannot live without?
I cannot go without going to the gym in the morning.
Huh. Do you have a special routine or?
I do. And it's they say you do something 10 times and it becomes a habit. Well, I've been doing this for, 20 years. And it's a habit. So I get up in the morning. I get up every morning at 4:30 in the morning, and I head off to the gym, and I do spinning classes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll come home. I'll do some yoga. Now, I'm not a petite little woman. I wish I was with all the exercising I do. And then a couple times during the week, I also work out with a personal trainer as well. For me, that helps me physically. That also helps me mentally, again, develop those high performance habits. Another high performance habit I have is reading.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I have stacks of books here. You know, people are always sending me books to read, to review, to, you know, give them some feedback, testimonials. So I'm always reading. And I mean, growing up, I was not a reader.
Mm.
You know, just not something that came natural to me. But by doing that, again, it helps me develop those high performance habits.
So you travel all over the country leading teams, but you still make it to the gym every morning at four. That's amazing.
I do, whether it's, you know, being, you know, my home base, or if I'm traveling, I'll still make sure I get up. I'm either in the gym, I'll go for a long walk, just, you know, something to, you know, to keep that fuel going. And in my suitcase, that's why I have to pay extra for the weight. I'll carry a couple little arm weights. And I'll take those with me as well, because when you're traveling, you can easily, you know, because I'm always going out to dinner, you know, with a client or somebody. So you can, you know, easily put on those extra few pounds, especially with a glass of wine.
As a fellow traveler, I know how hard it is to maintain habits on the road. Yeah. Yes. What's the key to maintaining those high performance habits no matter what?
Well, the good thing, actually, I love when I'm traveling, I'll read more. I will definitely read more when I'm traveling. You know, because if there's because an event or, you know, something going on that I need to go to, and I'm also vegan, so I'll take some snacks or something with me as well to make sure I eat that healthy food. And just to maintain that clarity about, you know, what it is. So if I'm going to a specific event, so I will focus on what that event is and who I'm going to speak with. And I prepare before I even go. I will work with a client, an event planner, whoever I'm going with. Sometimes it's begging to give me the list of who's going to be in attendance before I get there. So I'll also do that research before I get to that event. So this way, again, I'm, you know, clear of mind, because sometimes you can be really tired from one to the next. So this way I'm prepared. And when I get there, it's like, oh, I want to talk to Jeffrey Gettemer. So I make sure, like, you know, I talk to him.
Yeah.
And you know, so that's how I network, and, you know, I'll work the room that way. And people like that too, you know, and even if it's someone, and if this happened to me years and years ago, where I went to an event and somebody came up to me and they're like, oh, Connie, oh my gosh. And I, you know, I couldn't wait to see you. And I, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm like, oh, where did I meet you before? But it just made me feel good. So I've learned to get that back. and again, just makes people feel good that, you know who a little bit about them.
Absolutely.
And prepare that.
Cool. So you are a past president of the National Speakers Association, and you speak all over the globe.
I just wanted to, that was long for the Los Angeles chapter.
Oh, okay. So you were a past president for the National Speakers Association, Los Angeles chapter.
Right.
Gotcha. You speak all over the globe. I'm curious, were you always a talented speaker?
No. The one thing, and like I talked about before, and things that we learn, although, you know, growing up, I learned to be a leader, but at the same time, it was a very stifling environment.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, I grew up of the age of, you know, again, do what you're told. We don't want to hear from you. Just get it done. So I was very quiet. I was very timid. I did not speak my mind at all, and that all changed after my divorce. Because I got married young and divorced young, but then after that is when I went back to school and I started really searching and getting some clarity on who I was. And then, you know, at the U.S. Chamber, work in there, I was speaking, but not to large arenas. And then at the Girl Scouts, I spoke and I started speaking to large arenas, getting comfortable with that. And then after Girl Scouts, it was almost like it just became natural to me at that point. And I remember waking up to my husband still trying to figure out what I was going to do and saying, well, I'm going to become a professional speaker. And my husband was like, okay, all right, if that's what you want to do. And so I joined the National Speakers Association. At that time, I also joined Toastmasters. I became a seminar junkie, just learning the skills of speaking and, being attracted to an audience, in addition to getting all of my certifications for executive coaching and so forth. So no, so I was not a speaker early on. I really worked at developing the skills.
What do you recommend to someone who is going into public speaking?
I would recommend, because what I see with some speakers coming in, and I've coached a couple people on this as well, but what I see when people first coming in the public speaking, again, some have that natural habits, that natural skill, but others come into it with, oh, I have a story of despair, and the stage becomes their therapy. You don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that I wanted to make sure that I didn't do, because that is not the place for it. You want to share a story, and because storytelling is powerful for speaking. So my best advice for somebody to want to go in that field is to learn from the best, and contact some of the best speakers out there and see if they would mentor you or coach you on that. Because trust me, it will be worth every penny that you spend on that.
Cool. I want to go back to something you said before, where you said, I was getting into speaking and I joined the National Speakers Association. I joined all these groups. You said join, but then I'm noticing this trend, because on paper, you're the leader of all these groups. You were a past president of your chapter. Mm-hmm. You were a leader at the Chamber of Commerce. You were a leader at the Girl Scouts. So what's the value of being a member versus a leader?
The best example that we always hear, if you join an organization, just like joining a gym, if you join, you need to participate. And I mean, I'll talk to people and they'll say, oh, I didn't get anything out of it. Mm. Well, what did you do? Did you participate? Did you get involved in the organization? Because when you get involved, you get to learn more of the inner secrets of the organization. And now you really know what's going on. Just like right now, I'm an advisor for the C-suite network. So I'm an advisor there. And I also, my podcast, it's one of the distribution channels that the podcast is in. And I'm involved with the Hero Club and a number of other things, our Women Who Dare Council as well. I get a lot out of it. And of course, there is an annual fee for it. And that annual fee renewal is coming up for a lot of people. And I have people calling me. I didn't get anything out of it. So I'm not rejoining. And same question, what did you do? How did you get involved? The only way that these organizations are going to benefit you is if you get involved. And you don't have to be a leader of the whole organization. Maybe you're just volunteer to do some marketing for them, or to connect people together, or whatever need that they have, or just outreach to the community for the organization. You get so much more from any type of association when you get involved with them. If you just pay the money and do nothing, you're going to get nothing.
Yeah, my philosophy is the more you give, the more you're going to get.
Exactly, exactly.
So tell us about the Women Who Dare Council.
The Women Who Dare Council, that's been so exciting. And I mean, I've been out of Girl Scouts for 11 and a half years. And I mean, I've dipped my toe in doing some programs for women occasionally, but I haven't really jumped in it head on, because my work is really in the C-suite, working with both men and women. But I've been in a mastermind group for all of these years with a group of women that I known from back in the Girl Scouts, some of them. And so with the C-suite, we've been talking over the last couple of years, how can we help expand the C-suite by bringing more women into the group? Because you go to these events and 90% of the attendees are men. The panelists are mostly men. So I've had many conversations with them about it. So just a couple of months ago, because I had still been toying with the idea, what do I do? What do I do? Where do I go with this? And last year I took off a period of time to spend with my mom because she was ill and she passed away. So while I took that time off from the business, I was still working in the business. I did some research and, you know, and I get talking to my mom and she's like, you've led women groups all, you know, for so long. Like where are you stuck? What's holding you back? And I was like, because women are so bitchy.
It's true.
It is true. And I said, you know, I just got turned off by that. So just a couple of months ago, I was visiting my stepdaughter in Lake Tahoe.
By the way, men who are listening, you can't say that. Only we can.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, no,
not allowed.
No
one else, right, we no can one call ourselves bitchy. You cannot call us bitchy.
Absolutely. But I'm in Lake Tahoe, and there's a headline saying, woman who dare water skiers take on this competition. I don't even remember what the rest of it was, but I went, woman who dare? That's perfect. That is perfect. I came back. I checked, you know, the URL to see what's available. Own that now. And I've since found there's a couple other versions of it, but it doesn't, you know, it's something totally different, you know, from what we're doing. So I announced it just like 2 months ago in San Jose. I was at an investor summit. And the membership has been insane. The people that want to join, they want to be part of it. So I had to ask someone, like, why is this so different than what you normally, than any other woman's group? And so I did another interview on another show and I shared this story. And my story was earlier this year when I seen millions of women marching together. I thought that was so powerful until some of the things I started saying after. And like wearing a vagina on their head. I was like, no. I was like, no. Because you know, that was given the power away. And that just really sparked something in me. So I went back to the drawing board and I said, okay, we're going to do this women's group. And it's going to be the Woman Who Dare Council, and we're going to put that out there. And our first event we have coming up in New York City just in a couple of weeks, we're doing a glam in the city weekend. Ladies are taking Manhattan. We're going to spend a whole week together in an Airbnb that sleeps 20. That's going to be interesting. And we're going to have some educationals throughout the week. We have one woman coming in, she used to be the VP of Education for L'Oreal and from France, and she's going to be there. So we're going to talk about image makeover from the inside out.
Cool.
And we're going to talk about verbal communication, and we will talk about personalities, and you know, so we'll touch on high performance habits, and then we're going to have a glamorous dinner. And then on Friday night, we're going to finish the week where we're getting a professional tour, private tour of the Sex and the City tour around New York City.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So it's going to be a fun and exciting night. So that's the first of many events. We just laid out the whole calendar yesterday. Every month, we're either doing webinars or we're doing live events. And the media has just been insane with their interest. So while we're in New York City, we're also going into a studio and we're doing a documentary. That's filming great. A documentary about Women Who Dare. And the basic question I'll be asking is, what makes you a woman who dares?
Cool.
Yes.
And so how do people find out more information if they want to about Women Who Dare?
About Women Who Dare? Well, right now they can go to womanwhodarenyc.me.
Okay.
Okay.
Great. And we'll put that in the show notes as well.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. And the website for Woman Who Dare will be womanwhodare.me, M-E.
That's great. Now, before you go, I just want to talk about your podcast. You have a show called Up or Out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What's up with it?
Well, Up or Out, so I've been doing this about 5 years. And initially, I was doing live radio. And then I went to a hybrid and I was marketing master. So when I took that break with my mom last year, part of my research was when I do my coaching and my mentor programs, I've been asked several times from people, how do you help me get out like you did? And I was always like, well, that's an interesting question. Yeah, I'm going to promote that to corporate America and say, I'm going to show your executives how to get out. Yeah. No, I don't know if that'll work. But in my program, I have put that into the program. And I was actually getting calls from companies saying that that was one of the best things that I've included in my mentor and training program, because people now are performing at a greater level knowing that they do have a plan B. So, you know, if that rug was pulled out from under them, no worries. They're good
okay.
to go. Yes. So, which was really interesting. So, and part of my focus and part of the programs that I do is, so when I lost my corporate position, I did not have my plan B. So I am sharing all of that with people of how you can move up in corporate, how you can be heard in the boardroom, how you can have, you know, the best habits and, you know, be a great leader. And if you're ready to go out, again, we have, you know, a full package that we're going to show you every step of the way that you can quickly jump into launching your own business, whatever, you know, that may be for you, without doing the 2-year, the 5-year hurdle, like many of us do, myself included, trying to figure out what you're doing. So that was the whole premise of the Up or Out. So again, we're going to help you, you know, lift you up, or we're going to help you get out and be that entrepreneurial leader that you're still been groomed to be.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. If people want more information on how to work with you as a leader or book you or anything like that, where should they go?
Well, they could just easily go to my website, which is fifegroup.com, P-H-E-I-F-F, fifegroup.com. And so you'll learn programs about my programs on there, my mentor program, and also my speaking programs.
Wonderful. Connie, it's been such a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you for all your insight.
Oh, thank you. I love being here.
Cool. Thanks for joining us on Sell or Die. Subscribe and rate us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. Just search Sell or Die.
And follow us on Twitter. I'm at Gittimer. On Facebook, I'm / Jeffrey Gittimer.
I'm at Jen in the New York Minute.
You follow me, you follow Jen. We tweet it, we Facebook it. You click it, you join it.
Thanks to our amazing guest today. Our producer is Doug Branson, and our technical director is Chris Hill. Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, reminding you to get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.